and you're ready to go out to pick.
We're ready. We started the cutting first.
You're talking about a cutting.
Big cutting at the dryer. There's hundreds of people there. It's literally hundreds, you know. It's a big place. You know. And we were cutting apricots, cutting in half, and then we put them, lay them on the tray so you could sun them, you know. And 10 cents a box, on huge boxes, you know. Hijo, man. And the chabacan was about that size, so... Anyway, the whole family working all day long, you know, which was at least 6-7 hours, I guess, you know, because we did, you know, weren't long hours. It was just like 6-7 hours that we'd cut, you know, because they'd had to smoke them, yeah. And then they
burned through the tunnels, yeah.
Run through the tunnels, drying, yeah. And then pull them out in the sun and all that, you know. But we were just doing the cutting. And so the whole family, we made probably 70 cents a day, you know, 7 boxes, 8 boxes a day that they're good. And sometimes for some reason they bought in the big chavacanda, the Moore Park, what they used to call Moore Park,
right?
The big one. And boy, you could go through a box real fast. And one day we made 12 boxes. We're going to get rich here, man. $1.20 that day, you know. But mostly it was like 80 cents a day, you know. And we worked there, you know, I don't remember that. It must have been a week or two or something like that, you know. And my dad was still looking, you know. Now that the prunes are getting ready to start, you know, and that's where really the kids come in better than anything else. They have a better chavacan, better than anything. Prunes is really where you're going to make money. You know? This is it, you know. And so, you sure enough, the prune time comes, and they need a lot of little hands to be picking prunes. And somehow, I don't even know, I think that the El Señor, remember the Señor that was the husband of the lady that let us stay at her place? Knew this Portuguese up in the hills, up in the East Hills in San Jose, way up there, you know. And they had some prune ranch up there, and he always needed help, you know. So let's go see him. And then they went and said, and then we'll start next week, you know. And then he had a house, a very nice house, the best house we lived ever in our lives, you know. Era una casita chiquita, pero limpiecita, muy, muy bonita, con ventanas and everything, you know. Even had a sink, you know, and a toilet inside, and... What is this, you know? So, anyway, we made the running. We went up there. Oh, it was beautiful up in the mountains. You know, in a clear day, there wasn't that much smog in those days, you know. No estaba muy smog. You could still see, on a clear day, you could see the Bay Bridge and the Golden Gate from way up there, you know. Really clear day, you could see the bridge is real nice, you know. But anyway, you know, there weren't too many, many clear days. And so we stayed up there and we picked prunes. And we picked the whole corrida, you know. We picked... stayed there a good over a month, I guess, you know, a month and a half. And we were very happy there. We were all very happy. You know, we started making it was a little better, you know, for us.
What were they paying?
I think it was also, either 10 cents a box, I guess, or it was 5 or 6 cents a box. I don't know.
What were prices like, though? I mean, you're making 7 cents a box, 10 cents a box, but what did it cost to live, or with food prices?
Very little. You would go. My dad would go on Saturday to get groceries, and for 5-6 bucks, he would bring a whole. I mean, carne, verduras, goodies, and everything. You know, it was very cheap. Sodas was 5 cents. You know, hamburger was about 10 cents. I guess 5-10 cents. You know, so everything wasn't, you know. But anyway, I think it was 10 cents a box. It was 40, let me see, $2. Let's see if we can figure it out, too, okay? It was $2.75 a ton. $2.75 a ton of prunes. And 40 boxes would make a ton, you know, so. What is it, you know? Quick math there, you know. 40 boxes would make a ton.
Yeah.
It was
$2.75. 7 cents a box.
Huh? 7 cents.
About 7 cents a box, that's what I figured,
yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, and so, you know, but the whole family picking, we would make pretty good. We'd pick a ton and a half. On a good day, we'd pick 2 tons. You know, that was a lot of bread. Now, you know, we're talking about, you know, we were making good money now, and so. It was very good boss. There was a Portuguese, and his family lived there. And he was very happy with us, you know, treated us very well and liked us much. And, you know, And so we finished the job, and he says, okay, next year you got you want to come, your house is there, and you know, same thing, you know. So we went in a good note. We finished with him, and this is my cousin Frank, you know, up the line a little, needs some help. He's getting behind him. You want to go help? Sure. So we went in another week over there with Frank, and then somebody else needed help, and we put in a few more days over there. And so we did pretty well, you know. And I think by this time it's getting, time had passed, and by this time it's getting late late in the season by this time, you know. So Dad figured that the best place for winter work for single men, you know, single worker, you know,
yeah,
was Oxnard, because they had some winter vegetables there and all that. He figured that would be the best place, you know. And so we headed back to Oxnard. By the time we got there, it was already, I remember it was cold, it was wintering, it was raining. And again, we had no, my tia wasn't there. They had also moved someplace else. They had gone some other place, down to San Diego or someplace. They went looking for something else. And we didn't have the same thing, you know. We didn't have a place to stay, but esta señora, it was raining, it was cold, and he had to start school. And she said, well, she says, I don't, she had a nice house, you know, no, luxury house, but she had in those days, a nice house meant that they had kitchen and bathroom and all that. And it was just her and her husband, but it was a very small house, so it says, but she had a very nice side yard, like, it's all dirt, but it was clean and everything, you know. It was a big lot, so a lot of yard. He said, "You're welcome." So we have I think by that time I don't know if we had bought a tent or somebody loaned us a tent. I don't know where the tent came from, but I know we had a tent. And she says, "You can set it up, you know. This is winter, remember? Yeah, it's getting cold." And so sure, you know, my parents were very. You know, very appreciative. They were very happy that we could set a tent there. And we did set a tent, you know, and we all slept there. And again, we cooked outside, you know. But this time it's winter and it's raining and the mornings are very foggy and it's always foggy there, you know. It's getting cold. And so we had to start school. And then we went back to Catholic, you know. And we lived there for, I don't know how, again, I don't remember times, but we lived there, we must have lived there at least a month or more until we found a, and my dad started working, because there was work during the winter, you know, winter crops like winter cabbage and other stuff. And my mother kept on, every day she went and looked in La Colonia, she went and asked, and finally, esta señora, again from Arizona, another lady from Arizona, had some rentals, had it in. He said, I don't have anything right now, but in a week, that family's moving out, they're leaving, and that house is yours. He's like, see? So we signed it up right away, you know. And the rent is going to be, it's really $7 a month, but if you don't have the $7 a month, I'll wait for you until you start all working, you know. Like, there's no big if you don't have the $7 or the $6, whatever it was, the rent, you know. And so we moved in a small little house, you know, su cocinita, pero everybody cramped, you know, we all slept, you know, used the whole thing to sleep and all that. You know. And we stayed there. We stayed there until we were out of school again.
So you went through the whole school?
Went through the whole again, you know.
Yeah.
And so we started the whole thing again, you know,
And you still like school?
Well, by this time I didn't. I started not liking it very much because we had to go to different schools, too many different schools, you know.
Okay.
Because we used to move. It didn't. Just that first time from Arizona, we were waiting to finish school. But after was the last time that we waited for school to finish, or school to start. That didn't count after we were on the migrant stream.
Okay.
We had to move. We move right now, and we didn't care what month it was, or what day, or how many days left, or we left.
But you had come back to the same Catholic school.
We did that.
Right?
We did that time. Yeah,
that time.
But then when we left,
when you left that next season.
You know, that was, we went to El Rio, we went to Santicoy, the school, and we went to school in Fresno, we went to school in Selma, we went, I mean, like, it's just like, I mean, I didn't start liking it very much then, you know. Yeah.
So that would be your last year of staying one place through the whole school year, then.
See. Yeah. Some sort of like that, yeah.
Yeah.
And from there on, it got to where we had too many schools, and but by that time we were getting to be pros. Yeah, we know where to go. We didn't go to the wrong places. Uh-huh. We knew that picking time comes. You first come to Fresno and do the grapes. Uh-huh. As soon as the grapes is over, you go to Sacramento and do the tomatoes. You know, and you know what I mean. Like, yeah. But it was better. We knew the route. You know, we knew where to go. We weren't trying out there to go and cut cuts. You know, that was for somebody else. You know, the greenhorns would do that. We were too smart to do that. We didn't even pick prunes anymore. We went and picked tomatoes where it was more money. And, and so we learned the ropes, and we started, you know, getting. Then we started going back from Oxnard. That was the last year we went back to Oxnard for the winter.
For the winter, yeah.
For our winter, our winter vacation. After that, we started going to Imperial Valley. One of my cousins' husband was sort of like a contractor, not exactly like a contractor, but he got jobs, you know. Yeah. And he told my dad to come over, and he would always have a job, you know, all during the winter, better pay than Oxnard. And so we started going to Brawley, you know, all the way to Imperial Valley. And we would go there for the winter. We would go to school there. You know, we'd get there when school had already started. School starts in September. We'd get there sometimes in October, you know, or maybe early November, after we finish with tomatoes and everything else, you know, too. It freezes up north, and we'd come back. Everybody was already 6 weeks into school, or 2 months. So we got there, and that sort of scene. I didn't start liking it very much after that.
You had to play catch-up, right?
Catch-up, yeah. And the next year, we'd leave school. Was in June. We had to leave on the 1st of May. It was the last month. And then start getting very angry, like, we had to leave school because we were chasing the crops. And it was, even though, you know, we were very poor, I guess, you know. It didn't seem like that. We didn't... because we were a very, very close-knit family, you know. We were very, there was a lot of love. I told you my parents were already big when they got married, so they were very mature people, you know. So there was a lot of love and a lot of understanding between us and the parents and the kids. And you know, and so it was good. We were very close. We worked together. We slept together. We did everything together, you know. And so it was good. Those were good times.
Now your mother must, you know... never able to, you know, like when you're in Arizona, you stayed in one place many years. Mm-hmm. So you could have a complete kitchen, you could have...
No more, that was the end of it.
That's all over, right.
She didn't have her own stove after that, you know, we would cook. There was a stove for many, many places
drum,
we went.
Oil the drum, yeah.
Yeah, una tina vieja, one and cut it and make a stove out of it.
Yeah.
Even though when we're lucky to get like that time, when we pick prunes up in the mountains, mm-hmm. that had a nice little stove. It had a stove. It was wood, but it was a stove, you know. And then she would do her goodies there, you know, all the good cooking and baking and all that. She'd make us cookies and pies and all that good stuff, you know. And so it was very, it's like back home.
Yeah.
But you couldn't very well make, you know, bake in one of those, you know. I guess you could, but...
make a cake in a pan. That's about
kind of our life changed as we knew it when we were in the valley, in Yuma Valley.
Yeah.
Because we were very happy. I know we were very poor, like I said, but we were happy. Yeah. It was just a very nice early childhood that we had there, you know. We were very secure and everything.
No more cows for milk or anything like
that? No, nothing. No more just go pick up the eggs, fresh eggs, and none of that. All that ended when we left, you know.
Yeah.
And then we just, it's so hard to remember where we went and what we did, and we just up and down. And I don't even remember what we picked walnuts in the valley.
Hanford, Visalia, there's walnuts.
The other valley, San Fernando.
San Fernando, yeah.
We used to come all the way to, there was a lot of walnuts there in...
where the university of Northridge Chatsworth.
Right there, we used to come and pick right there, you know, from Oxnard. Yeah. Every day. And then we'd pick the walnuts in El Rio, in Saticoya, yeah. and all over the place. And yeah. walnut was over, and then we'd start heading up yeah. north, up along the coast to see what was yeah. what they were picking in Santa Maria. And, yeah. and on and on and on. We just, and then we'd cut to Fresno for the grapes. And we already had it figured out what's next, where we're going. Yeah. And the years passed, you know, like that. And then in 1942, it was... In 41 was the last year that we went back to Brawley. In 42, we stayed in Delano. Now that's better. It's even better than Imperial now. Delano, okay. The Imperial, the valley, you know, started to yeah. come alive with planting billions of grapes and, yeah. and everything. And there's a lot of work doing this. And it was true. There was yeah. a lot of work for the in the winter months, you know. Mm-hmm. And we stayed in Delano, and that's kind of where we kind of. Called home after.
Yeah. Who was the first? Your father moved you to Delano. Did you have cousins there? What?
Again, that same cousin that mm-hmm. used to go to Imperial Valley. Uh-huh. He had already come to find a better. The Delano was better for work, you know. Uh-huh. And actually, my mother, she was my blood cousin, but my mother also took care of her. And my mother's sister died. She was mm-hmm. also a little girl, yeah. and my mother took her over. She was like a sister also. Yeah. You know?
So your mother raised her.
She raised her. So they were very close. Yeah. And her husband was a very good man, you know, and he would always was looking after us too, for we would do better, you know. And he was the one that asked us to come to Delano, and then we came and we liked it. We started there, and then we started making friends, and you know, we're teenagers, yeah, you know, yeah. and it was not as easy to move us. Then kind of innocent, we didn't have much say.
You were what?
In 42, I must have been around 11 or going on 12, yeah.
Junior high, middle school, yeah.
I graduated in the 8th day, so.
Yeah, they used to do all the way up to 8th grade.
It was junior high, really.
Yeah, it was equivalent junior high.
Yeah, junior high, yeah. It was the 8th grade, and it was in 44 that I graduated, so we came there in 42, so I must have been around 12. Better than 12 years old. Mm-hmm. And then we started, you know, making friends, and we didn't want to leave anymore, you know, and so we'll go pick, but we got to come back, and so, you know, started kind of calling that home. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
So you finish your schooling in Delano then? The last couple years, 3 years?
Yeah. The last 2 years.
2 years. And that was up to what grade?
The
8th grade.
Yeah.
No high school.
No high school ever too. You know, you start getting to be a teenager, and you're ashamed not to, you know, just not to have fancy clothes, but just at least decent, halfway decent clothes, you know. Because you know, kids will, and then you start liking girls, and then you know, you start being ashamed to being seen with the same shirt or you know, all those silly things, you know, I really don't mind, but they're pretty serious at that age, you know. And so, you know, then we made it, you know, we couldn't buy shoes that, you know, we had to wear them until they were really worn and all that. You know, all those things contribute to it, you know.
Yeah.
And we wanted to get out of work.
The work doesn't end in September when school starts either. There's still the opportunity to make some money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the grapes, you have La Poda for the winter.
Oh, yes. You know, there was all those, a lot of stuff. Yeah. And then it starts early because then you start the thinning, the amarre, and this and that, you know.
Yeah.
So it's actually about only about 2 months in grape work that you're not doing something.
Yeah.
Yeah,
March, April tend to be a little slow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you finish the tying in like in December or late January, early in middle of January.
Yeah.
And then it's February and March, and it starts coming up.
It's coming up. The saiki
and rote and the and this and that, you know, and all kinds of. Especially table grape takes a lot of. The other grape, no, you just let it go. Let it go until the grapes ripen and make them raisins or pick them for wine or something.
Wine, yeah.
But the table grapes has a lot of they have to be cultured.
So were you working, you know, pretty much one place then, or still moving around with your tío, or cousin, I guess it is, being the sort of a labor contractor. It's this arrangement where somebody, he has the contacts with the growers and he has a contact with the workers, so he gets you together, right?
Exactly. That's right.
Yeah.
And I probably got a little money on the side for it, you know, for his work, you know, which is okay, you know. But he wasn't a licensed contractor.
No.
That's what I was trying to say, you know.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we were doing He did well there.
Yeah.
Then we got, you know, then there was the cycle, like you say, you know, yeah. Then it was hourly work, you know.
Yeah.
Hourly work, you would go and work, you know.
Yeah.
You know, work 8-10 hours, whatever, you have to work, and then it was a... Well,
you still have the war boom going on at that time, right?
Yeah, sort of, like it was, sort of, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, it's still the summer. We go to San Jose and pick, you know, patino, and, you know, and pick the cucumbers.
Yeah.
Make a little better money and pick the prunes, you know. And,
yeah.
You know, yeah, the prunes were for little kids, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we're just, we're big kids now. We don't pick prunes anymore.
Young adults.
Young adults, you know.
So,
start changing a lot of stuff, you know.
So what was life like for a young adult, no longer in school, and you're based in Delano?
Those were good years too, you know. See, those were good years. You know?
Yeah.
We had a lot of fun when we were young, you know, young adults, you know.
Yeah.
There wasn't as much. I would be very afraid to be a young adult growing up these days, you know.
Yeah.
I'd be terrified, you know.
Yeah.
In those days, you didn't have this, drive-bys and things like that, you know.
Yeah.
In fact, we were doing the Chuco area, the Pachuco era, you know, the dress and all that. They said never Pachucos, you know.
Yeah.
They had a big belly boo and 13 bottoms, and 36 knees and all that stuff. It was a dress style, you know.
Yeah.
And we got in trouble for that sometimes with the law, you know. They didn't like that for they didn't like it, you know. Since they didn't like it, they'd caress you, you know.
Yeah.
And, other than that, you know, we did well. We did good. I was trying to say something. I lost my train of thought there.
We're talking about there weren't the drugs.
Very few marijuanos, you know. Very few. Not too many.
Yeah.
It wasn't. Not everybody was doing pot or whatever they did, you know.
Yeah.
They were not as marijuana. You know who they were. You could just spot them, and then you know they don't know what they did. It's okay. It was their business, you know.
Yeah.
I was trying to say that we used to like to fist fight, you know.
Yeah.
Chavalos, en el baile, I don't know, chingazos, you know, let's throw blows, you know.
Yeah.
But now, a guy pulled, anybody knew somebody had a gun, he was sitting there, and he would have no friends. Nobody would associate with, it was a bad thing to have a gun. It was an unmanly thing to have a gun.
Yeah.
And I came to machingaso.
Yeah.
And but things have changed. Even a guy that pulled out a knife was you know. Even a guy that pulled out a knife you would say no tiene huevos, you know. But any guy that took the yes. And sometimes you get it on, you know, and whoever wanna lose that become an ass and become best friends and all that, you know.
Yeah.
There wasn't young people didn't kill each other as much as they do now, and you know, fortunately. We were youngsters. We did a lot of we still drink, and the police would catch us with beer in the car and take us in, you know, and then mom and dad would have to go pull us out, you know, and that sort of thing, you know.
Yeah.
But we were young, you know.
Yeah.
But none of this hard stuff. No.
So what were the entertainments then?
We're looking for the dance
on the
weekend every Saturday at the Honorifica, Comisión Honorifica Mexicana, the little saloncito that was nicknamed Sobaco, you know.
Uh-huh.
El vamos al Sobaco el sábado. And then we knew what was going to happen. There's going to be a dance. The girls are going to come. We're going to be there. We're going to dance until it's over. And then we go home, you know. We would probably take them to dinner after the dance. Those that can go, you know.
Yeah.
Because in those days, it was very tight. The parents were very tight with the girls. And, you know, the dance is over at 11:30, 12 o'clock. I want you 10 minutes after 12 at home, you know. And at least that was my sisters, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they were lucky. They would
Sometimes the mother would take the daughters to the dance, and she would have to approve of the muchacho before you dance.
In our case, yeah, no. There was no.
Yeah, well, there was some
in
of that.
In our case, no. Just going to the dance. You know, they would go by themselves. Caesar and I, the brothers were there, too, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it was pretty safe because we were also there, you know.
Yeah. He's your older brother, right?
Yeah.
He's looking out for you, making sure.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good thing. You know? And they were all friends. They were friends to our girlfriends and their girlfriends. Our friends used to go together, and you know that the other thing that I tell little things, some people find it kind of strange, is that you know how when you're, how many brothers do you have?
I have two brothers.
Two brothers.
Two brothers, two sisters.
most brothers that we knew when we were growing up, the older brother had his friends, you know, Kamala, he had his own friends, and they do their thing, and then the younger brother had his friends, and then the other younger brother had younger friends, and you know, and Cesar and I always were together, you know. We had, he didn't have his own friends, and we had the same friends, and we went, we were part of, we used to call it gang, but it meant completely different in those days, you know. The word meant totally different what it is today, you know, than the way they use it today, you know. The gang means that we, hey, let's go get the gang so we can go this way. You know,
It's like the song about the wedding bells breaking up that old gang of mine. You're not talking about a street gang.
And so... and so we hung with the same guys and did the same things and everything, you know. If we got in trouble, we both got in trouble, you know. You know? And a lot of people found it kind of strange, but that's the way we were, you know. And even until he died, we were still together, you know, all the time. And so, you know, we'd look after each other, you know.
So, as you're going through your late adolescence, going towards, you know, what did you see yourself doing? What were your plans? What were, you know, what did you see for yourself?
Nothing. I didn't. There was no plans. No. Nothing. It was just life from one day. The song says, "Un día a la vez." It's really what it was, you know. Cesar went into the Navy, into the Navy, and he was gone for 2 years. Okay. By that time, the war was over. He'd going in, and just a few months, it ended, so he went, he didn't see any action. But anyway, he spent in the South Pacific, I guess, whatever they were doing over there, building or whatever, steel garden. He was 2 years. He has gone. We're apart for 2 years, and but before then, you know, like I said, we were pachucos. You know, pachucos means. In fact, you've probably seen some of the pictures where we're pachucones. You know. And one time, we were harassed all the time because of our dress. You know, even you weren't doing anything. You were just harassed. You know, the police would harass the hell out of you. We were. It was in the summer. We were in Fresno picking grapes, and we decided to go to Merced. There were some chicks over there that we saw the other day, and you know, let's see if we can find some chicks. And we decided, and when we were there, we didn't find the girls. We didn't even know where they lived. We were in campus, some camp. We couldn't find them. Getting late, well, let's go to the movies. You know, it was four of us: cousin Manuel, Caesar, myself, and somebody else. I don't remember, just another friend. And we were at the box office. We stepped up to the thing to buy the tickets, and this police car comes and just parks right, and then they get off, you know, right away. You get over here, And what's happening? We're just going to buy tickets. I said to move over there and put us against the wall, and, you know, search us, and because we had nothing on, you know, we're just going into the movies. And so anyway, they had us there. You know, it looked like an eternity to me, but. You know, and everybody looking, it was embarrassing, you know, because, you know, you didn't do anything. Why should they be doing this, you know? They did it to us, you know, and then they just talked real rough to us and treat us like we were criminals, you know. And you couldn't talk back because they'd strike you, and that's what they need for you to talk back so they can really hit you, and then, you know, you were aggressive or whatever, you know. And we knew that, and so we were very smart about those things, you know. And so we just did everything they said, you know. We didn't even go to the movies after that. We just, a lot of people gathered, started, it was just a scene there that created out of nothing just because they didn't like the way we looked, you know. And we didn't even go to the movies. We just said, let's get the hell back home. Let's go home. Let's get the hell out of here. This place, we don't like this place. We went back home. So. And other incidents, you know, when we were in Oxnard, and my cousin Manuel had, you know how they used to duct you, to call it duct tail, you know, long hair, and duct. Well, just they hauled him in and went up there, and with the fire, they you know, they gave him a haircut with fire, you know, with us, you know, the, you know. They cut his hair.
Cut his hair off.
Just because they didn't like it, was, you know, it looks goddamn ugly and it's greasy besides it, you know, and just like. Hijo, I'd like to see son of a bitch is doing that today.
Yeah.
Hijo, man, it's incredible. I tell my kids, and you just let him get away with it, Dad. We just let him get away with it, you know. Yeah. We didn't want to get killed or get banged up pretty bad, you know. And so, you know, we went to times that you wouldn't believe, you know, that things that happened, you know.
Yeah. It didn't seem to make a lot of difference whether you're in Oxnard or Merced
or
Fresno.
It didn't make any difference where you were, you know. It didn't make any difference. You know? And then those Suzuit riots, they call the Suzuit riots in Los Angeles, didn't help things any, you know. There was many reasons, you know, just plain old prejudice, you know, plain old prejudice. You know? And but we lived through it. And I think it made us better people because of that, you know. I think that's where we got our urge to get even some way, you know. And I really think sometimes that's what caused us to say, okay, now we're gonna do it. We're gonna do it our way now. You know?
Yeah.
Get a little of that payback. You know?
Yeah.
I really think that's what it was. You know? Sister and I used to. So you think that's what it is? I think so, Richard. I think we had some anger inside that we had to do something. You know. Mm-hmm. I guess we did. You know.
Yeah. Something has to be the motivator, the driving force.
Yeah. I think that, you know. And then we found out that how you could do things. You know, there was the Fred Ross through CSO and all that, and that's later in the story.
Yeah.
You know,
pero.
We found out that you can organize people and you can move mountains, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then politically, you organize politically. And there's a lot of ways you can do things, you know. It doesn't have to be like with a gun or, you know. In this country, I'm talking about.
Yeah.
We could do it here because of it. And so that's what we started doing. We found out we could do things. And once we got the little taste that you could do things, man, this is... This is Caesar said, if it works for community organizing, I got to work for field organizing too, you know.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's organization. It's all you need. And that's where we started doing this thing, you know.
Now, you're in Delano as a base, right? Still doing
San Jose gigs.
Still San Jose. But now, let's talk about Delano at that time. I mean, what was Delano like? I mean, there was no freeway through it.
No.
That was the old highway. Was there a Mexican side of town and a non-Mexican? What's the dynamics of
Delano? Dynamics of time, the SP railroad tracks, the west side were the Mexicans and the Filipinos, and the east side were the white people, Anglo-Saxons.
Yeah.
And then was a clear divide. That was the tracks divided, you know.
Right. So if you came across the tracks, say, to shop or something, did you feel pressure to go back across the back?
No.
Yeah.
Not that way.
Not that way.
No, you can go shop and everything. Yeah. You know, it was.
Could you be there after sundown?
Yeah. It wasn't that.
Wasn't that harsh?
Yeah. Just that it was hard to buy a property over there. You know?
Yeah.
In fact, you couldn't buy a property.
You couldn't do it.
You couldn't do it. They would find all kinds of reasons why you couldn't buy it. You know.
Yeah.
Or you couldn't. The schools, you know.
Yeah.
The schools were over there. Their schools were over there. Our schools were over here. We had Fremont and they had Seeds 11, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And in those days, high school wasn't a problem because there was about 4% Raza in the high school, you know.
Yeah, nobody went to high school there. Very
nobody
few.
Went to high school, you know.
Yeah.
Only Zaragoza and Espinosas were the only ones in high school of the Mexican families, you know.
Mm-hmm. And the Zaragozas and Espinosas, I mean, who? What did they do? What did the families do? What? They're ugly.
No, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, la buscamos también nosotros. You said you have two families that, you know, their kids go. Now, what's different about them? What are they doing?
I don't know. It was just... in those days, we call them más agabachaditos, you know.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. That's all. Nothing else. You know.
They
were smarter than we were. Let's put it that way.
Well, what I'm worried about is that, you know, did they have small businesses? Did they have, was there something else that was happening?
No.
They were just
regular
workers.
They were stiffs, you know. Pero they were.
Okay.
I don't know how to explain it, you know.
No,
they'd come to the same dances as us, you know.
Uh-huh.
But they were a little more stiff, a little more, they were, chucos as we were, you know. They weren't chucos at all, in other words.
They were pretty straight then.
Pretty straight. All of us were chucos and they weren't, you know, so.
Okay. Kind of.
Yeah. And then later on, you know, they did good. Vincent was became a CPA, a very good mm-hmm. CPA. He had his own business later.
Yeah, later.
Kids, you know.
Yeah.
El Espinosa became a police officer
right.
in Delano.
Yeah.
And Frank Herrera became a big labor contractor. And, you know, so not big things, but they Mary was also a legal secretary for somebody, and, you know. In those kinds of things, you know.
Okay.
I'm not saying that the guys that were chucos and all that didn't surpass him.
Right.
In many instances, 10, 20 times over, you know.
Right.
But in those days, that's the time, you know.
Right. Now, the west side is Mexican and Filipino now. Is that all mixed together or separated on the west side? Or what's the dynamics there on the west side?
Dynamics there also, okay. There's also dynamics there, you know.
Yeah.
The west side, the... From 20th Street on, like, still the west side, right?
Yeah.
Still the tracks.
Yeah.
The west side, from 20th Street north, it's mostly where the Pinoys are at, where the Pinoys, or the Filipinos.
Yeah, Filipinos.
Okay, or the vast majority.
Yeah.
And from their south, it's all Raza, mm-hmm. all the way south from there. It's all Raza, okay? And now, but that was, I'm talking about...
Yeah, we're talking about in the 40s,
then,
right?
In the 40s.
Yeah.
And now there's... all the land is Rasa.
Yes,
you know, I mean, just like, I don't know where the white people went to, you know, they just, there isn't any more there, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know where they went to. You know.
I don't know, Bakersfield, somewhere, I don't
somewhere.
Know. Somewhere.
They moved. They moved, and there's very, very few white people in Delano, left in Delano, you know.
Yeah.
The girls, of course, are still there, but they don't live in town, they live on the outside.
On the outside, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what about with the young people, the Filipinos and the Mexicanos? I mean, were you going to the same dances?
No. This Comisión Honorífica was just
all for the
chucos, all Raza.
All Raza, yeah.
All Raza dancing.
Ever any problem when sometimes people start dating across the two community lines?
No, they didn't. In fact,
they didn't.
In fact, a lot of the guys, I know a lot of guys that are married Filipino girls, mm-hmm.
and
vice versa.
Vice versa.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. There's no problem there. Yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. No problem.
Because sometimes there's conflict there.
See.
With that.
No. Yeah. Not in this. Not in.
Not here with you.
No.
Oh,
sorry.
That's okay.
With Delano, no. We didn't have that problem.
Okay. So Cesar's gone off to the Navy. You're here now. Your brother companion is.
He's gone
for 2 years. What are you doing?
I'm growing up. I'm growing up. Manuel is my companion now. Manuel, my other brother.
Uh-huh.
Manuel is we get pretty tight, you know. We're always tight, but we get tighter now, you know, because.
Yeah.
And when Cesar comes back, I've grown 2 years, and so it was a little different, you know.
Yeah.
And but we still hook up as soon as he came back. We hook up again, you know. We started where we left off, you know.
Okay. You didn't end up going into the service after he got back?
No, I missed the service, man. I missed the service by days, you know.
Mm-hmm.
First, I wasn't of age when Second World War ended. You know, it ended in 45, and I still wasn't of age. I was going to be 18, I think, in November or something like that, you know. And then the Korean conflict was the one that was really tight. I was already classified and everything, you know. And... I remember the reason I say, every time I see my son Fred, I says, you're the reason I didn't go to war, you know. So, I appreciate it. They were taking fathers with two kids, you know. If you had one, there was no problem, but you had two kids, they were still calling you in, you know. And I had one, and of course I was already classified and everything, you know. And then at about that time that I was already, they were going to call me, you know, so, I'm inducted. Freddy comes along, he's born, you know. And just after he was born, just a few months after, they said, no more, we don't need parents with two kids anymore, just one, you know. So I just missed it because he was born. And so it was that day, I just kind of went to the days, and I just kind of missed the whole thing. So I never was in the service.
Okay.
But I was a damn good Boy Scout. I served a lot of years in the Boy Scouts.
Ah, you were in the Boy Scouts?
Oh, yes.
When did you start in the Boy Scouts? Here in Delano?
Oh, no, that was in Raleigh.
In Brawley?
When we're in Brawley,
yeah. So the this was during the school year, or when you were there, you got into the troop in Brawley?
Uh-huh.
Yeah? Yeah. And it sounds like you enjoyed it.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Boy Scout is a lot of fun, you know. Yeah. We had a very good scoutmaster, and Mike, what was his name? Mike Gallegos. So many years back, you know. Mm-hmm. He was a really good guy. He really had an interest in the kids, you know.
Yeah.
You know, a guy that could spend a lot of time with people, you know. I mean, he was really planned a lot of good things for us, a lot of good activity, and he was a good disciplinarian. He disciplined us, and not only did he love us, but he disciplined us too, you know.
Yeah.
And so we respected him, he respected us, and you know, and you know, it's a good thing, you know.
Yeah.
We had a good man there to teach us. Yeah. And so we enjoyed it. It was a very fun time, yeah.
Yeah, the troop pretty heavily rasa. Yeah.
100%.
100%. Who else is in Brawley with young kids, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So we got you here. Now you mentioned your sons. At some point you're going to get married, right?
Mm-hmm. I was the first one to get married.
Okay.
I beat my brother and my sister, who's older than me. Yeah. I just beat him by a few months, you know.
Yeah.
When the mazorcas, they said, broke
yeah.
wide open.
Everybody, yeah.
Everybody started.
Yeah.
Yeah, me and my first wife eloped
La robaste.
And la robé, menestilo. I just didn't have a horse, but I had a 1940 Chevy. And so we eloped and got married in Yuma.
So you went back home to get married?
Yeah.
When was that, Richard?
In 1948.
48. Yeah. She's a muchacha here from Delano?
From Delano. She was from Delano, yeah.
Yeah. Was she also part of the Arizona migration? Was she a paisan?
No. They're from other families. They came from Canoga Park. Their roots were in Canoga Park.
Okay.
You know, come to Palmdale and Delano. So they were from up California way.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what were you working at that point?
What was I doing? It was field work. It was field work,
field
you
work,
know.
Yeah.
The Saihe, Piscandal Wadon, anything that came up, you know. Just, you know. Field work, whatever. Farm work, you know.
Yeah,
I was doing farm work. And I remember exactly, I mean, why, you know, because they used to call him El Desmadre, just that's a nickname it got, Tapian Estén, Desdejando Betabel, you know.
Uh-huh.
You had to thin it.
With a cortita.
El Cortita was a hijo, what awful jobs there were, you know, awful jobs those were, you know. I had a... Un clemi, you'd get a clemi in Acre or something. So they pay so much in Acre, $27 in Acre. But it took me about 3 days to finish an Acre, or 4 days, I don't know. There were so many roads. Hey, it could look like forever, you wouldn't get out there. And I remember because I was about halfway down with my Acre, and I said, I think since I got there and finished my Acre, so I could get paid or something.
Yeah.
Something happened, you know.
Yeah.
And so anyway, that's what I was doing when I took off. You know. So I remembered it claritamente. Yeah. And we got married in Yuma and came back home to. I live with my parents, you know.
So it was only a temporary escape from the desmadre, yeah?
It was.
Yeah.
It was just temporarily, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. We came back, and by the time we were getting ready to go up to San Jose, because we used to go up to San Jose to the fruits, you know. So we came back and I got married in April, came back May, right around May, a month or two, and then we headed up to San Jose. Estaba recién casado, was just newlywed, you know, and went out there, you know, to do the things. You know. And, you know, a year later the first child came, and we had our first child, and now I was already. I was very responsible, you know, for being a young man. I got married very young, you know. I was only 19, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I know by the first year I already had my own car, and I had my own house, renting my own house, you know. I lived with my parents the first few months, and you know, you don't have anything, you know.
Yeah.
You don't have nothing. You got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And now by the second year, when my child came, I already had my own, was renting my own little house, you know, and I already had my car, you know. Mm-hmm. See? And now the reason I said I was very responsible, because now I see that I have children that are almost 30 and they can't support themselves, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's I don't know why, I question it sometimes, and I says, just by yourself, man, I'd be a king, I'd have everything, you know, just working for myself, you know. Yeah. And they still can't do it, you know, and so still have to, mama or papa have to dish it out sometimes, you know, most of the time. And so anyway, that's another thing. But I think people grew faster because, you know, you matured quicker because you had to, you know. Times were hard, you know, and so you... When you start working when you're 10, 11 years old, by the time you become 20, you know everything about it, you know?
Yeah.
You know how it's done, you know that you have to do it, and you don't question it, and, you know, you do it, you know?
Yeah.
Whatever has to be done, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, but like I say, things have changed a lot as far as I can see, you know?
Yeah. Now, you were active with the scouts when you were younger. Later on, we know you're very active, but in this period... Are you active in any volunteer organizations?
Oh, yes. Before I was in Delano, when I came back, I had my son, my child, I came back to Delano. And one of those trips to San Jose, okay? This is, I already had my kid, I came back to Delano, and had my kid and went up to San Jose again, one of those summer trips, you know?
Yeah.
This is a good adventure we had together with Cesar and I. A lot of people don't know about these adventures, you know. We were at one of my cousins here in San Jose, and it was on a Sunday like today. Un amigo de él, no relations to us, just one of his friends, and had another friend with him. Two guys came, and said, hey, come on, have a beer, and sit down, you know. They also had a six-pack, I think we started, you know, having a helmet. And then he says, ¿Usted en qué trabajas? No, yo no estoy aquí, I come from up north, I'm up in Del Norte County, you know, up in Crescent City, Smith River. What do you do up there? What do you do? Well, so the lumber mills, you know, all that's a lumber industry, there's a lot of lumber mills over there. And at that time, we were Caesar and I were picking peas there and picking peas or string beans or something. We were making about $1.75 a day. And we already had a kid of peas, you know, and our wives and everything, you know. We just knew it wasn't happening, you know. And so this guy says, we just, you know, they make the lumber, cut the trees up. We don't work in cutting trees. And we work in the mills, you know, they're making the lumber, you know. And he explain us how it is. And he says, and how do they pay? We're getting $1.05 an hour. $1.05 an hour, couldn't believe it, you know. $1.05, we work, you know, 8-10 hours. Sometimes if we have to work overtime, that need something overtime, we work an hour or two overtime, then they pay us $2 an hour. How did you find it out? They're hiring a lot of people. They need a lot of people. They're hiring right now. Yeah. You think you went out there, they would work? I could guarantee you. In fact, if you want, come with me. I'll put you guys to work. We were making 75 cents a day, you know. On a good day, we'd make $1.25. When we make $1.50, $1.75 a day, we were doing very well, you know. It was times were hard, and we didn't know nothing else to do. You know, we had no skills, you know. We thought we had no skills, you know, or we didn't, whatever. And so this guy says, I can get you a job over there. They're asking for more people there at the mill where I work in Smith River. And so sure enough, he says, yo voy y en cuanto llegue, yo me voy ahorita en la niña, tengo que trabajar mañana, so I have to work tomorrow, and then I'll call you guys, you know. Be sure and be by a telephone. So give me a number so I can call you. And we'll write. We didn't have a phone, but my cousin did, you know. I was right there, waited all day long, and the call came in. He said, I said, bring all you can. He said, they'll hire everybody that you bring. Oh, man, next day, I mean, all the viejas se quedaron solas. All the wives, the young wives, stayed by themselves. I left, Cesar left, my cuñado married to my sister, Tartin, recién casados. He left with us, and my cousin, Ruben, also left with us, you know, so we're four, got in the car, put our mochilitas, and we took off. We got there at night. Next morning, we started working. A buck 5 cents an hour, and they're going to raise it. It's going to be about 10 or about 15 in a month or two, you know. Hijo, I mean, this is Shangri-La. I mean, we had found it. This is it, you know. Y llegamos in the summertime. It's just like, you wouldn't believe how beautiful it is, you know. It is a paradise, you know. It's the up north, the wooded country. The wildflowers, everything is just like beautiful. And then this is it. This is where we're going to. Aquí. And this is, we found it. This is where we're going to spend the rest of my life. And so we had thought we had found it, you know. So we stayed there. In the first, we got money the first week, and we sent money home, and we went to a buck five. I couldn't believe that, you know. It's a lot of money. In San Jose, you got an hourly job, is only 35, 40 cents an hour. If you got a job, you were lucky to get a job, it was 35 or 40 cents an hour. And so we were in, like, so it was very good, you know. We didn't, they didn't have a place for us to stay, or we couldn't, there wasn't any place to rent there for. It was just a little service station, just one little, like my dad's place over there, just a little grocery, just a service station grocery store, and that was it, nothing else. But dos cantinitas and no restaurants. In the post office, and that was about it. And so anyway, after about a month, we're breathing pretty comfortably. You know, we send money home, and we can buy our food here, and you know, and we may even have a dollar or two to buy a beer or so. Beers were 15 cents in those days. You know, 15 cents a Regal Pale, or the Acme was 15 cents. You know, and so. We had been there about a month, and we said, well, you know, we've been working very hard. I think we deserve to go have a beer at the bar, you know. So we cleaned up real, cleaned up on Muchingones al bar, you know. Let us have some beer. I'll have a lucky. Everybody was lucky, so in those days, you know. I says, get out. We can't sell you here. Mm-hmm. We couldn't believe what we were hearing, you know. You hear me? We don't serve dirty Mexicans here. But we're not dirty. I just clean. You see? I just took a shower and I clean. You get the hell out of here. Get your ass out of here, bro. I told you a bunch of bastards out of here. Like a real, more words than that, you know. And just, we didn't know why, you know. It's because we don't sell your kind. And we don't want your kind here too, see, you know. You better get the hell out of this place. And so, hijo, man, we just like, there's the first time in my life I'd been discriminated, but like acting like I didn't hear, or you know, kind of didn't, you know. This time I heard it right in front of my face, and the guy's looking at me with anger in his eyes and telling me that I'm like no goddamn dirty Mexican SOB and this and that, you know. And I didn't do anything to him. I just asked him for a beer, you know. Hijo, you feel like nothing. You feel like they destroy you. Completely. I think I still have those scars, and I'll die with those scars in wherever they're at, you know. And we all felt the same, I'm sure, you know. And so, Todd, and I wanted to cry. I guess if I would have cried, I would have cried, you know. And we started walking back to the cabin. It says, well, what happened? Did anybody say anything? No, I was the one that said that we just wanted a beer. You know, I think it was the first time. He said, no, this guy is a precious son of a bitch. He goes, look, yes, you know. What does that mean, like, me, sobrinitos? But when people, well, some people don't like other people. It's, you know, you discriminate against them, you know. You pray for them. But we didn't do anything to them. You don't have to. They just don't like you, period, you know. They just don't like it because they don't like you. And that's all. I don't know how to explain that, you know. There's some people like that, you know. And then we went home, and we just sat there, and we just like, consolándonos unos a los otros, you know, saying that we're, you know, just. But mira, we came to the. My cousin, el más chico, todos, el más chico, my cousin Ruben. He said, let's go burn that sandwich tonight. This town's not that big. Let's go out there, set a goddamn. We can walk to the back and set this goddamn place on. Let's burn it, you know. Burn the sandwich to the ground, you know. That's how much hurt we had, you know. we thought about it, you know. No, that's the wrong thing. Don't even think like that, you know. Just as, you know, we know we're hurt, you know, we know we're very angry and all that, you know, but it's not, that's not going to help. That's not going to help matters. That's not going to help matters any, you know. It's just, we can't do things like that, you know. They're going to catch us, put us in jail, and it's not worth it. It's going to be no good, you know. So let's just call them whatever you want and, you know, just let it out. You know, call it SOB and this and that, you know, but don't physically, we're not going to do anything, you know. And so we did, you know, good thing Cesar was there. And, you know, I think all of us kind of said, well, we're so hurt, we want to do it, but it's not worth it, you know. We all agreed it wasn't worth it after all, you know. And so that was the first time that I was really, really, really discriminated. And I knew what discrimination was and what hatred was, you know. Because they're doing it to you right in front of your face and you have to sit there and, other than striking them or, you know, pulling out a gun and shooting them or something, do something stupid, you know, you just gotta walk out with it and take it with you, you know. And so, but he was the only one. At the store, they treated us very nice, you know, the store, the old man, the old lady said, oh, it's nice to have you boys here, so we, you know, and then we went to the other place, and they treated us good. We went to play pool, and they didn't say you can't play pool or anything, you know. We went to play pool, we used to go out there. Yeah, that was the only guy, you know. The only bar. It was a little bar, a little rinky, dinky piece of shit there, you know. And he threw it out. First I thought, you know, because in those days they still didn't sell liquor to the Indians, you know.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of Indians up in that country, up in that area, the northern area, California. And I said, well, we're not Indians. I know what you are. And they're like, I already knew, you know. I says, you know. So, yeah. My argument wasn't valid, so. So anyway, other than that, we went back home and we sent my cuñado, who was the oldest one. He said, we were already old, 21, except my younger cousin Ruben, who was still about 18. So Gitano, we call him. He went and got a couple of six packs, boom, home, and we drank it there at the house, you know. The drunker we got, the more matter we got, or, you know, just, we aired out anyway. We vented, you know. We vented, we just, you know, and that was it, ya pasó, it's over. And then we worked there, and like I say, we were very happy with our job. And the boss liked us because we were good workers, you know. Raza is always, we're workers, you know. We know what we have to do. If they teach us, we do it and do it well, and they do it con ganas and all that, you know. And so, oh, he was very happy with us. We were very happy with him. And then, oh my goodness, he's not here.
To what we're doing, so.
Yeah.
Okay. You're still up in the north at the mill.
Up in the northern, up in Paradise, you know.
Yeah.
And this is summer I'm talking about. It's beautiful. You wake up in the morning real early, and there's just this beautiful smell of pine scent all over. The rivers by that time are down, you know, or just like the streams. It's a fishing stream right next outside my door, you know, some trout fishing there. And the rivers are, the Hayuchi is down already, just natural pools where you can go swimming, just like rock pools. And it's just a paradise. I can't explain it any better. It's just beautiful, other than that SOB that didn't like us, you know. But everything else was pretty nice, you know. And here we are, you know. So this time, by this time, we already have some blood, you know. I mean, we're pretty sure that job's not going to end. Never, because it works all year round. Yeah. And we're doing okay. We're sending, we're getting ready to send for our wives and everything. Because we've been out there about a couple of months by ourselves. And, you know, we're getting homesick. And so we're gonna bring our wives over. So we asked the boss there, you know, the foreman, I guess he was foreman. He wasn't super, he was foreman. He was, says, you know, we're talking one day at noon there, lunch, and he says, how do you guys like it? Oh, we like it very much, but we're still going to have to leave because we were here without our wives, and, you know, some of the guys are getting, you know, homesick, and he says, well, why don't you bring him? So, well, there's no houses to rent here. He says, well, build your own house here, damn it, you know. None of us were carpenters, nothing. It would have been now. I could have built our house in no time, you know. At the lumber mill, we make the lumber there. Yeah. and say, well, we don't have money to buy lumber. For pizza, you don't have to buy lumber. You see all that? You take anything. Use it all if you want to. Just build yourself something. Really? Say, really, I mean it, you know. And so we started building a house. You know, we had never built a house. Nobody knew. But we had an idea, you know. I wasn't a carpenter then. Yes, probably I hadn't trained yet. And so we started, and he just, anything you need, he lend us a skill. So you know how to use it? Well, we learn, you know, and then hand saws and everything. And we started, like, in the summertime, we'd quit at 4:30. There were still 4 hours of light, you know. So we'd all get there, and men started teaching, and made rooms, and made a big old kashma. I call it the kashma, you know. I don't know how many rooms we added to it, and we just, let's add one more, and we add one more room, and it was right in the riverbank, and we kind of used a tree that was in. You put some stringers, and then it was a cabin. It was really nice, you know. And he bought some windows for us and doors and everything. So, and we built it. And then later on, we bought the wives, and we all sent for. We went and got him. You know, we bought it. But anyway, we were. Then they came. You know, we went and bought the wives, and then it was even better because we had a good job. We had a house to live in. Without paying rent, and we had a good job, and the boss liked us, we liked the boss, and everything was beautiful, you know. And then on Sundays we'd take we'd go out to the river and take a picnic or something. It was very nice. It worked out real. The ocean is only a half a mile away. We'd go ocean fishing if we wanted to, so everything is there, you know. It's beautiful. Like I say, by that time we're feeling more secure. Yeah, you know, we're got a good job now, and you know, we're feeling pretty good. Says, let's go to Crescent City. Just the guys, you know. So we're gonna go out on this Sunday afternoon. We're gonna go to Crescent City to we're gonna drink some beer over there. This guy doesn't like us here, so we're gonna go to Crescent City. It's only about the Smith River to Crescent City, it's about 11-12 miles or something like that. It's close by. So we went to Crescent City, it's a bigger little city, you know. And we went to this bar. I see, you know, that's a, even the guy spoke Spanish. He'd been in El Centro, he knew Manuel Ortiz, and we started talking boxing, and it was a good place to be, you know. We were there talking, hablando. And by that time, we had, había cuatro braceros. In fact, a guy that said they can hire you if I take you. Mm-hmm. He was a runaway bracero, you know, those braceros that came, yeah. And then they had time to go back, they disappeared, and they went way up north, so nobody could put that in. Migra wouldn't look for you, you know. I mean, you know, disappeared. So anyway, four of them were ex-braceros that they were illegal here, you know. But they had been here for years, you know. And so they went with us. About six or seven guys, eight guys maybe, went out there to drink beer and play pool and all that. And just to kick back and relax, you know. And we're here hablando, no, que sí, que no, que le llamo. After a few beers, you start getting... This señor opens the front, comes in the front door of the cantina, and he stares at us, you know. Dios mío, he says, son mexicanos. Pues we all, sí, señor. And he rushes over and starts hugging us. Ay, qué gusto, pongan de cerveza aquí los muchachos. Serve everybody some beer. That señor had a gusto that you couldn't believe it. He was just like he had seen the risen Christ or something, man. He was really overjoyed, and he had lived up there. He lives in Crescent City, and he had been living up there for 10 years. I guess he hadn't seen a Mexican in 10 years, you know. There's no Mexicans there, you know, in those days. But we were in Smith River, not in Crescent City. But he's an engineer. He's a Mexican. He studied in Mexico, a Mexican engineer from Mexico. But he came to the United States, and he opened a cabinet shop. He was building cabinets in a session door place. You know, he built doors and windows, and he had a nice shop, you know. And he just couldn't believe. So he bought beers. No. You 15 cents a beer. He bought us beers in the county. Give him some more beer. And we didn't pay for another beer that afternoon, you know. And ya platicando. Now it's like, vamos a ir a cenar a la casa. Ya no han cenado, no. Vamos a ir a la casa. He calls up his wife and says, "Get at least algo porque va a traer." He's got some friends coming, you know. So we went to his house and we had a feast. By the time we got the señora head already enchiladas, a feast, you know, and more beer. So we had this señor. We just came in from nowhere, you know. Aurelio Marmolejo, Leo Marmolejo was his name. Leo, call him Leo. Marmolejo. Really fine person, really fine human being. Oh my goodness.
Well, they don't let you misbehave, huh? No more travesuras even at this age.
Even the base hotel.
Yeah. So we were with the Mexican engineer that took you home.
Oh, they couldn't believe that he found it. He was obviously very homesick for Mexicans. Poor thing. And he saw us, and he was just overjoyed. Him. He was really, truly overjoyed, and he took us home, and he fed us, and then we drank some more beer, and made a party out of it, you know. And the señora was very happy to see us, and you know, it was just like they hadn't seen Mexicans in a long time, I guess, you know. And so we right away became friends. So, where are you working? So we're in Smith River working at lumber mills, and then he had this shop that he needed help, you know. So he offered, ¿cuánto les pagan? I said, well, we're getting 115. I said, yo les doy unos 50 si vienen a trabajar conmigo. We couldn't believe all this is happening to us. All these good things are happening to us. And we can't believe it. The guy's offering $1.50. That's unheard of, you know. That's a lot of money, you know. I wouldn't know what to do with all that money if I went to work for him. $12 a day? And so, before you know it, he was a good organizer. But being an engineer, he was very damn good organizer, and he organized us, both Cesar and I, to come and work for him. And we both came to the shop, and he started teaching us how. It was a shop, it was just running stock or sending or whatever, you know. And he had a lot of work, you know, so he needed help. He really needed help, and we came in right at the right time.
You moved to Crescent City?
We moved to Crescent City. Again, we didn't have a housing, and he was a master carpenter. Uh-huh. He says, but you're going to help me, but we're going to build you a house right here. And he started building Cesar's house first, and then we finished with Cesar, and then, you know, we built mine. And we moved, and we worked there with him for a while, you know. From there we came back to San Jose. That's just prior to CSO. The reason that I mean that, remember I'm telling you, this is still summer, you know.
Right.
When we moved to Crescent City with Leo, just starting to become winter, you know. And then comes winter time, and the first scaring we had was before we met Leo. Remember that I told you there was a little stream in back of the place where we built the
built your house right on
the cabin and all that, you know, the little, you could jump from stone to stone and all that. Well, there on that little stream had banks are about 150 foot wide, you know, or 200 foot wide, I don't know, 4 foot, 6 foot banks on one side, little stream. Well, that little stream became a roaring river that you wouldn't believe, man. It had trees and houses and cows coming down, you know. It rained for 3 days straight. Okay. Up there in Crescent City, the average rainfall is 96 inches. 96 inches. Just imagine, it's incredible, right? It's almost, it's 8 feet, you know. 94 inches, something like that. In Delano, it was only 3.5 inches or something like that, you know. You just figure that out yourself, you know. This paradise became the last day, you know, I just wanted to see an ark floating down there. It just rained with non-stop, but I know, I mean, like, we call rain here, yet. Yeah. I mean, like pouring out of a bucket, I mean, like for non-stop for 3 days, this Northern California, way up Oregon border. And so, man, that water coming down was just like, well, our cabin that I told you we built on that tree, that big old tree, and we used it. It was right on the bank, but we had to move out because the water had gone over the bank. You know, it was already in the house. We had about a foot of water, 8 inches of water in the cabin already. You know, and so we had to, they built those mills, those lumber mills. They used to build them, the old ones. I don't know if they still do or not, like on stilts. You know. Because they're up high. They're not on the ground, like at ground level. They're on stilts, you know, like probably as high as a house, you know, 8-10 feet high from the ground. And then they built the Molino Arriba, so everything is up above. So we had to get our kids, our family, and our blankets and go to the Molino. I thought you would see around was all water. You just couldn't see anything else, you know, just like the store in there was a little higher, so I didn't reach him. But everything down from there was a cantina, and I told you in the store, and then you come. That's good. No, grande, just a little gradual. By the time we came to the Molino, but the Molino was, that's all you could see was a little store. So the water's just barely getting close to him. And but the other way, nothing. Like seeing just like it was part of the ocean. What happened? It came real fast. The tide started. It had high tide, and it backed in, and the river was coming, and so it started going up real fast, like you know. So we went up to the lumber mill. I thought, well, you don't know. You're not used to that kind of weather. You just don't know what's going to happen. We thought that was it. You know, I thought we're all going to drown here. These things keep coming and coming. You know, just it started racing more and more. Anyway, that was ahí se acabó el sueño. That the end of the dream was right then and there. That for me, that day, and then we decided. And then we didn't have communications for a week and a half. The Greyhound bus couldn't come in for 2 weeks, and it everything went haywire. Like paradise became hell. You know, just became something totally different. Just the opposite of the beauty it was in summer. You know. And so I said, no, and then the time, and as soon as the water that we could get out, we came to Leo, you know. Yeah. And I'm sure there was butane in those days, but we didn't have butane, you know. We were still burning wood stoves and all that. And the lumber would get wet, and then you couldn't make it go, and it's a smoke, you couldn't cook. I was just like, everything became different, you know. I mean, everything became negative.
How did the young wives deal with this?
No, they didn't like it at all, you know. They just didn't like it at all. They just couldn't. They didn't like it at all. We didn't like it either, you know. Yeah. Just like it was, it became hard, you know. And as much as we liked working for Leo, and as much as we liked it out there in the summer and everything, we decided we better head home, you know. We better go back to San Jose. Yeah. And so here we come back to San Jose, you know. And we left all that stuff behind, you know. We just left it up. And that was an adventure. That was a real adventure. The whole thing was an adventure. That period, you know.
Back up a little bit. When Sester came home from the Navy, he went to San Jose.
No, came to Delano. We're still
How
in Delano.
San Jose get to be home then?
We used to be between San Jose, and every year we would go to San Jose from Delano in the summer. And then we stayed in San Jose for a couple of years, and you know, left Delano. We went to San Jose, and we had already left Delano, not San Jose. We left Delano and went to San Jose and stayed there, okay. And then went north. Well, we were in San Jose, then we went north, but we came back to San Jose because, you know, it's funny how you can, you know, like I said, there were no Chicanos up there. Obviously, no Mexican music, nowhere. You know, you're used to your music and all that. You know, nothing. And so, by the time I came back, I was going to the jukeboxes looking for Hank Snow and you know, all those guys. You know, just used to make fun of me. Where in the hell did you get this from? You know, like I could tell you who was number one in the hits and everything. You know, that's all. Well, that's a good little story between there.
Yeah.
While we were there with Leo, you know, it was good. He was a good boss, and the work was interesting. You know, we were building things, you know, and we were doing, he was showing us a lot of stuff, you know. And I told you he was an engineer, right?
Yeah.
This friend of his, Bob Gray, was going to build a radio station, and they need Leo's expertise to put up the boom and all that. So it's a piece of cake for him, you know, like all that, you know. I told him how to do it and drew the plans and even helped him with the actual raising of the boom and everything. Well, they were good friends, you know. And then the KCRE opened, the first radio station up north in that part of the country, you know. It was a big thing and everything, you know. And they used to visit. Bob used to come to visit Leo. Leo would go to his place and on his days, I told you my cousin was playing guitar and could sing. He said, "How'd you guys like to be on radio? You're pretty good. You guys are pretty good." Him and Gitano, my cuñado, were singing. "You guys are pretty..." They weren't pretty good, but he thought, you know, what did he know? They were okay, but not pretty good, you know. We just did it to Paranda, you know. And so he says, "Would you guys like to be on radio?" I said, "How are you going to get on radio?" I said, "Well, let's get a Spanish thing going, you know, a Spanish program going." What's wrong, Mexicans here? That's okay, but the gringos like Spanish too, you know. They, a lot of these guys go to Ensenada and in your own area, they know a lot about Mexico. And so he got us to go on radio, man. We're going to, is it 15 minutes? Because in radio, it's just like that. It goes very, you don't think it's 50, you're going to want more, you know. No, so you have a chance to do about 2 or 3 songs and then talk a little and stuff like that. You won't believe this, but and later in life I used to tell Cesar, if I had those tapes, I could become a millionaire with those tapes. You know, I knew I could become a millionaire. Right away I'll sell those tapes and I'm instant millionaire. I tell you why. We're doing a song, and then Cesar and I did a comedy team, you know, really. A dialogue, you know. Yeah. We were, he was Pancho and I was Pedro, and then we used to, hey, Pedro, how are you, Pancho, and all that stuff, you know. Yeah. And people loved it. I know that because they started writing letters, you know, that they wanted more, you know. And so when we went up to a half an hour and then they started writing letters, the guy says, we got to go an hour. So people wanted, and we got scared. Hell no, we stopped there, you know, no more. But Cesar and I were Pedro and Pancho, you know. He says, you wired those tapes? Go on, you wired those tapes? He says, and I'd kill you. You'd be a dead millionaire. But I used to kid him, you know. Yeah. And I, God knows what happened to those tapes. You know, but anyway, those are the adventures. So we had some good times and some bad times. You know, yeah. That's what I'm saying, was an adventure, you know. Yeah. But we came back safe and sound, and then on our way back, it was all an adventure. You're poor, you have a lot of adventures because you're poor, you know. We had a car. I have a little 19. I didn't even have a car and thing. No, I didn't have a car. Cesar was the only one. They called his car La Maraca. Just imagine what, you know. Okay. Cesar and su Maraca, La Maraca. You know. Red Maraca, you know.
The rattle.
It was one of those, the first cars they made right after the war, you know, like, you know, or before, or the less cars they made just before the war. Either one. I think it was the less Plymouth they built before. They stopped like in 42, they were no 43s, 44s, or 45s, right? In 42, it was the less Plymouth they built. In 40, they were pretty badly built, pretty cheaply built. They were building other stuff in that car. So anyway, he got one of those. You know, it was like an old used car, but, and it covers all the problems. Even on the way back, when we decided we were going to come back, what an adventure. The car was heating up. It was heating up, but it's okay. We had about gallons, those jugs, those milk.
Cartons.
It started getting hot, and we'd stop and put water and cool it down a little and keep on going some more. And then the thing is, when we got to the San Francisco Bridge, the Bay Bridge, not the Bay, the Golden Gate, it started getting hot right about the middle. We couldn't stop it. So by the time we got to the other side, it had boiled over. It was just like, it was screwed up, yeah. Yeah, we could just, then we're in San Francisco. We're so close to San Jose, but we're not there yet. And we can't get home in this car. We can't make it go. And we don't have any money, you know, to call a tow truck or a mechanic or nothing, you know. Oh, man, what adventures. So we had today, I think we, how do we think we put the girls on the bus, the kids and the wives in the bus? Came to San Jose, says, and I stayed there and we slept in the car. The next day was good and cold. We started it. And the same thing, we drive a few miles and it's get hot. But by the time we were just by ourselves and we were already across the bridge, so we could stop anywhere, you know. And so we had an adventure to get home. It took us 2 days, you know, just like on and on. It's just like finally we made it to San Jose and gracias a Dios, we were home safe. But we had some adventures that
So you come back, maybe we ought to stop there. We'll stop it.